Good morning, friend. Glad you could join us from the broadcast of today's edition of The Bible Says. Yesterday we were in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'd gotten down to the very last verse and got into it, and I ran out of time. Let's go back, please, and I'm going to read verse 31 and 32 again, and we'll finish off verse 31 and complete chapter 4, and then we'll start into chapter 5. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As I said yesterday, we barely scratched the surface on verse 32. Let's go into it now. And be ye kind one to another. Notice, please, where the action begins. This is something you are to do. So many times when we're dealing with people on a personal level, perhaps we see a deficiency in their life, or sometimes, and I think probably one of the most common areas to see this is between a husband and wife. There will be a problem in the home, and usually it will come down, you can push it back far enough to actually see the root of the problem. So many times people deal with the symptoms, and if you don't deal with the root of the problem, you will continue to battle the symptoms for, oh my goodness, for a long time. But if you get to the root of the problem between a husband and wife, usually it will come down to where one or both are being disobedient, either deliberately or perhaps through ignorance of what the Bible says. They're being delinquent in meeting their responsibilities that God has assigned them in the Scripture, especially to this point. A husband, according to the Scripture, is supposed to be the spiritual leader in the home. He is supposed to represent Christ in that relationship. And we'll look at this in depth in our study when we get to chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. The second area, and this applying to the wife, usually is in the area of biblical submission. It is not merely, submission is not focused primarily on, well, I let him have the last word, but rather it has to do with the attitude of the heart, more so than the actions, more so than the words that are spoken. It has to do with an attitude. And again, we'll deal with this in depth in chapter 5. But as I say, most of the problems between a husband and wife will be rooted in one of these areas or even both of these areas. Sometimes you'll come across a couple in counseling that seems to have no idea that the Bible says anything about who should be the spiritual leader and who should be the follower, who should represent Christ and who should represent the church. This is all something very foreign to their thinking. And once they understand what the Bible says, the old nature tends to respond like this, the husband speaking, well, I'll take this seriously. I'll work on being more like Christ when I see any real submission out of her. I mean, you know, hey, I want to see it there. I don't want to put myself, and this is what it comes down to, is selfishness. I don't want to put myself out trying to be like Christ if I don't have a guarantee ahead of time that she's going to, you know, be what she's supposed to be. Well, on the other hand, the lady says, well, yeah, sure, it wouldn't be hard to be submissive to a man who was like Christ. Now, if he'd treat me like Jesus treats the church, I wouldn't have a problem with submission. But if he wants me to be submissive, he better start treating me like, well, like Christ treats the church. And it comes down to, I'll become what I'm supposed to be when I see the other person has arrived at spiritual maturity where he's supposed to be. Now, when that's the attitude, you've got a problem. You've got a real problem. It's self-centered, yes. It is also an attitude of rebellion against the Word of God. Now look, a man cannot expect his wife to be submissive to him. I mean, he doesn't really have any right to expect her to be submissive to him when he's not submissive to God. You say, how can you say he's not submissive to God? Well, if he's going to be submissive to God, then obviously he's going to be lined up with the Word of God, and he's going to be effectively portraying Christ in that relationship. If he's not interested in doing that, then it is going to be because of a lack of submission to God. Now, part of the idea of being the spiritual leader is to set an example so that others can follow it. A man who is submissive to God and is demonstrating that submission in his life in obedience to the Word of God is setting an example, a role model, for his wife to follow. Well, if he can do this and he's being obedient to the Word of God, then I suppose I can do what I'm supposed to do too. Leadership begins when you actually get out in the front and do it. Now, let's come back to this. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. You do it. Now, coming back around and looking at this scenario with the husband and the wife, each wanting the other to take the lead, is not biblical. Notice here the command is, be ye. You do it. Lady, if your husband doesn't treat you right, if your husband does not personify Christ in the home, that does not negate your responsibility to be submissive to him. Well, yes, but you don't understand what he's like. No, you're right. I haven't lived with him. I'm not the expert on your husband. You've got time with him, you know. You know where his strengths are, you know where his weaknesses are. But the fact of the matter is, whether he's being obedient to God or not does not take away from your responsibility to do what the Bible says. Now, granted, it would be much easier for you if your husband were pulling on the same rope in the same direction. But it's got to start somewhere. Sure, it would be ideal if he took the lead and then you could follow it. But that still doesn't erase the responsibility that you have for obeying your Lord and Master. Now, if I'm talking to a man, sure, it would be easier to be, you know, everything God wants you to be if you felt like your wife was going to be there for you. But again, whether she is or not does not take away from your responsibility to do what the Bible says. I hope you understand that. Now, excuse me. He says, be ye kind one to another. He didn't say, now you wait, and when somebody's kind to you, you respond, you react. No, you are to initiate. Be ye kind one to another. You know, if I'm talking to you, if you men are listening, you know, it might surprise you what your wife would, how your wife would react if you treated her nice, said something nice once in a while. I mean, you know, to say when she fixes your supper and fixes you something you like, and instead of saying, you know, that was great, saying, well, you know, I didn't have any particular bad taste. I mean, you know, come on, loosen up a little bit. Be a little more free with your compliments. Somebody said you can draw more flies with honey than you can vinegar. Well, be that as it may, we're not talking about flies here, but the principle holds. You know, if you want your wife to demonstrate the kind of love for you, treat you the way you'd like to be treated, it's going to start with you. It probably will start with you. You say, well, I thought you said she's supposed to. Yes, but let's face it. Whether you're a man or a woman, your natural tendency will be to wait on the other person to pick up the slack. Not good. Not good at all. Be ye kind one to another. Sometimes I've noticed men, and women for that matter, are very, very polite and courteous outside the home. They'll be nice and complimentary to other people, but when it comes down to being at home, it's like, well, I don't have to be nice at home. My job depends on it at work. You know, I've got to be with the public, and I can't show my feelings. You know, I think maybe sometimes I'm really stupid, but I can't say, you know, Mr. Client, Miss Client, you're really stupid. You can't say that. But that doesn't stop you from saying it at home, does it? Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Gentlemen, has your wife ever seen you cry? I don't mean has she ever seen you have a breakdown and lose it and be so angry that... No, I don't mean that. But I mean, have you ever been so concerned about the spiritual well-being of your wife or your son or your daughter or a problem at church? Have you ever wept before the Lord? Have they ever seen that? Have they ever seen any tenderness in you? Your kids ever seen you express your love for your mate? Now, I'm not talking about anything untoward here, but I don't see anything wrong at all with kids growing up seeing their mom and dad give each other a kiss now and then, or a little hug, a little squeeze. There's nothing wrong with seeing them make calves' eyes at one another and whispering sweet little nothings. That's sweet. It's nice. It sets a good role model for your kids. They need to know it's all right for mom and dad, and if it's all right for mom and dad, it's going to be all right for them. You want to be able to express your love for one another and do it in a way that's natural, that's normal, something that's biblically right and pleasing to God. He says, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Oh, there's a problem. So many times, along with this matter of not being obedient to the roles that God has set down, is the unwillingness to let go of past injury. How many times have arguments started? You remember when you... And you pull up something that's been gone for 5 years. I'd had that thing buried and forgotten, but you drag it up, and you beat your mate in the head with it. Now, you remember, you did this and you said that, and so what? It's past. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward toward the mark. I press forward for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Sometimes it's hard to forgive, but did God forgive you? You think you've ever been trespassed against to the extent that our Heavenly Father was? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now there's the role model. There's the example. We're to follow that. Ephesians is a very practical book. But in chapter 4, we've seen some of those practical things. We've seen the role or the objective of the ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. That objective is for the perfecting of the saints. It is to make sure, to ensure, to emphasize, to encourage in any way possible the growth of the individual Christian so that we might be usable. The Lord prayed back in John chapter 17 that the Father would sanctify the believers, and he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we're going to be usable to God, we must immerse ourselves in the word of God. It's extremely practical, and it's the only way to amount to anything in the service of God. Now, my time's about gone for today, so I'm going to have to sign off. Join me tomorrow, and we'll pick up our study in Ephesians and begin chapter 5. In the meantime, stay in the Word, govern your life by what the Bible says.